Today's scripture reading is from Luke 21, 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends the reading.
Well, I bet that wasn't exactly the type of scripture reading you would expect to kick off the Christmas season, was it? Now, while malls and stores have had their Christmas decorations up since the day after Halloween and some before, Friday, Black Friday as it's called, was the official beginning of the Christmas shopping season. And today, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, is the official beginning of the Christmas season in worship. Now, the stores have great music playing, sparkling decorations, and good cheer spread far and wide, or at least in theory, all to get us in the Christmas spirit and to loosen our purse strings. But if this is supposed to be the official beginning of the Christmas season in church, wouldn't it make more sense to have a different passage, like, say, one of the birth stories, or even one of the passages about Jesus' lineage, or the one where Mary meets the angel who tells her the wonderful news that she's going to give birth to the Son of God? Those would be at least a little more warm and fuzzy than the one we had today. But we don't get any cute babies in beds of straw. No shepherds or angels. What we get instead is a Jesus who speaks of a world that is turning upside down and what we're supposed to do in the midst of it. Well, this passage isn't much fun. Why won't they just let us get on with Christmas already and get to the good stuff? Actually, I could have chosen one of those sweeter, cheerier passages, but instead I decided to stick with the lectionary reading from Luke's Gospel this morning. If you don't remember, the lectionary is a 3-year schedule of Bible readings for each Sunday, with an Old Testament reading, a psalm, a passage from one of the New Testament letters, and a reading from the Gospel. And it is based on the understanding that if you follow this 3-year cycle over a period of 3 years, you will have taken a fairly comprehensive look at the Scriptures as a whole. It helps us to have balance and not just dwell on one piece or another and ignore so many other rich passages in the Bible. So anyway, I chose to stick with the elected gospel reading for today. And I did so because I think that those who wrote the lectionary schedule, I think they were onto something. We say that we want to get on to the good stuff, the cheer, the parties, the decorations, the presents, the snacks later today. What was it, mussels and munchies? Oh, let's not forget the presents. Those are really fun. But in this passage, Jesus reminds us and gives us a glimpse into what is the real good stuff. Or you might call it the God stuff. The focus of our preparation here needs to be different from the retail industry. Decorations are nice, but they aren't what this is about. Parties and treats and gifts are nice too, but they're trimmings. They're more like fringe benefits than the real thing. Our focus is not to get ready for the kind of Christmas that is so generic and secular that people of all faiths and no faiths at all celebrate as a mere cheerful midwinter gift-giving season. In more traditional churches and in services like this one, we refer to this season of preparing as Advent. Literally translated, Advent means coming or arrival. So here in church, our focus is different. Rather than focus on the tree or the lights or the gifts, we focus on the presence, the arrival of God in human flesh. In Hebrew, the word is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We are getting ready for the arrival of Jesus, and we're getting ready in two ways, and for two arrivals, if you will. I'm going to reread verses 34 through 36. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus himself tells us that we are to be ready, that we are to prepare for that arrival. Jesus calls us to live with a sense of readiness for his return, which then brings with it the climax and the culmination of our salvation. So if getting ready for the arrival, the Advent, isn't about toys and trees and lights, then what does it look like? It's about living our lives in the now and living them for God. How many of us at one time or another have thought or said, well, someday when I'm not so busy, when I have more time, I'm going to participate more in church. I'll come to worship more regularly, or I'll join a Bible study, participate in missions. When I retire and have more time, I'm going to do more in the church, do more for God. But today I'm busy with other things. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Preparing for the arrival means that the time is now, not later, not when you're less busy. I mean, let's face it, the reality is you will never be less busy than you are right now. So, we are given a chance, given a call from Christ himself to reorient our lives, to truly get ready. Now, there are some strange and mildly scary or confusing verses in this reading, and some people like to focus on those and use them to generate fear and to sell books. In fact, there was an immensely popular series of, I don't know how many books, because I didn't read them, but they focused on this very subject, that you better be ready or you might be left behind. Now, I'm not into fear and manipulation, but it might not be a bad idea as a part of our Christmas or Advent preparation to reflect, to ask ourselves the question, am I living how I would want to be living if I knew Christ was coming back tomorrow or next week or next month or even next year? This is what Jesus means by being ready and being strong. He's not talking about sitting on your porch waiting to be sucked up into the sky like you were being beamed aboard the Starship Enterprise. Live the life that you were meant to live, the one God gave you, the one that you would joyfully set before God as your gift in return for God's gift of life and God's gift of his son. In Jesus' words in this passage, we find not fear, but rather hope and expectation. Verse 28 reads, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." We are to find hope in the promise of our redemption. We are to find strength in knowing that even when the world seems like it is in turmoil, God is still God. We may see war and disease and poverty, or closer to home, we may struggle with addiction, greed, misplaced priorities, but Christ's call for readiness brings with it promise and hope. God in Christ is coming to redeem us, because God loves us so very much. Now, if you think about where this passage is in the context of Luke's gospel account, it's not too far after this passage that Jesus goes to Jerusalem, where he is tried and executed. In some ways, he is preparing himself and those who will remain to pick up and continue his ministry. He's getting ready to offer himself as a sacrifice, because God wants to redeem and save us all. Like the leaves of the fig tree that appear in late winter and remind the one who sees them that summer is coming, despite the way it might feel. Now, winter here is not so much, but boy, when we were living in Iowa and you had snow on the ground for days and days and days and up to your knees, to see green leaves was actually something that was exciting, because it meant, hey, this isn't going to last forever. That's what Jesus' parable is about. You see those leaves, they remind you that summer is coming. So in this passage, in Jesus' words, amidst all of life's uncertainties and pressures, we are promised new life. May we, who have gathered here today, who have gathered together and begun our time of preparation, our Advent, may we use this season and time as one where we commit ourselves to living ready lives and to prepare for God's kingdom breaking forth as we await the radical, earth-shattering welcome of the little baby, the Prince of Peace, the risen Lord. Amen. And come, Lord Jesus.